720 WGN, Dane Neal. It is the Allstate 7th Floor Studios here, still on Michigan Avenue, in for Nick DiGilio until 5 a.m. And it's always fun coming in after Patty Show. Patty and Craig do their own, like, it's just fun, right? We're going to have to fill the fun, follow in the fun footsteps. Footsteps.
They laid the groundwork, Dane. We're going to have to pick it up and run with it from here.
Yeah, well, we're going to be talking about a bunch of different things. She mentioned spirits. We will get to that. Few is the name of the spirits. We're going to be talking with Paul Haletko a little bit later on in the program. Also, finally getting to Katie Lee from The Kitchen. You know her for the great work that she does on Food Network. You love her for all the things that she does. And she was married to Billy Joel at one time, too. So he loved her.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, she's a lot of fun, and she was a lot of fun. And we're going to have a bunch of fun with the program. Here are the different ways that listeners can kind of chime in and participate in the program. Some of the topics that we're going to be doing is Lollapalooza. They've announced the lineup. Now, if you ever have an event, Dino, and you can just sell it completely out before you let anybody know what you're going to do.
Who's playing?
Man, you have really done something. There is a certain trust that was like, just don't worry, it's going to be great. Buy all the tickets.
You buy the tickets, they will come.
Yeah, but you never know who's going to come. Is it going to be Metallica? Is it going to be Paul McCartney? I'm guessing a different fan base there. Or you just figure there's enough stuff that if you like music at all, you're going to be able to appreciate. Because personally, I could appreciate both those bands. You know, we watched them last year. Paul McCartney, come on, the Beatles, that's a great catalog, right?
Yeah, you can't go wrong there. He's got plenty of things to sing. So.
It's hit after hit after hit. He's like 78 years old. He's not that old, but he's close, right?
He's up there.
He's in his 70s, 3 hours, and he was there. This is when you know you're big and you've done something in music, is when you can have those montages saying, I've got to get through about 10 number one hits. So let's just sing 30 seconds of each one.
Yeah.
And you do that like 10 times throughout the course of a concert. So he's great. But that was last year. So this year we're going to announce the lineup for it. Of course, it's going to be Radiohead and the Red Hot Chili Peppers. You know, and some people are excited. I told my wife Esther, I'm like, oh, Radiohead. I love Radiohead. Chili Peppers. Oh, my gosh, they're so great. My thought would have been, if this was like 1995, I'm excited, too, you know. But so many great bands. Summerfest has really knocked it out of the park this year, too, with their lineup. They unfortunately don't sell all the tickets, or fortunately, if you're planning to go. They don't sell all their tickets in advance, but we're going to give listeners a chance at 312-981-7200 to maybe two bands, maybe four bands, whatever you're comfortable with. You can text in or call in with kind of your dream palooza. Like, what would you do? Like, which bands would you love to see? And you can see from the lineups over the years that it spans kind of like the entire history. And certainly on this show, there's going to be no rules. So, I mean, whatever you like, if it's your favorite band.
Doesn't make any difference. Whatever type of music that you like, country, rock, it doesn't make any difference. You pick out what you want and let us know what that's going to be.
Crumping.
Whatever it takes.
So like any kind of, anything you like. If you
big
love,
band? Oh, I don't know.
Spoons, jugs, you know, anything you like. If you like, whatever it is, go ahead and 312-981-7200. Everybody who participates by either texting in or calling going to be entered to win what? A Lou Malnati's pizza?
Oh, that's outstanding.
Pretty awesome, right? That's a great reward, considering I've been living off of multicolored peeps and marshmallow eggs for the last 2 days. So a pizza sounds pretty good. Some of the other things that we're going to be talking about is a brush with celebrity. I mean, at a Lollapalooza or a Summerfest, you may run into, you know, an Alice Cooper or...
Just about anybody.
I just want to say Carrot Top. I mean, he but he will probably not be there. But if you've run into a brush with celebrity, and it isn't always as dramatic as this Hugh Jackman. Dino, you know who Hugh Jackman is,
oh,
right?
Oh, absolutely.
Wolverine.
X-Men, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's that guy. I guess someone was drowning, and Hugh Jackman saved them. You know, it's not often that you... I mean, do you... And you've heard those stories. Didn't... You know, I mean, doesn't it happen in L.A. now and then when, like, somebody gets in a car accident, somebody saves somebody or doesn't save somebody?
Or tried to save someone.
Yeah, where it happens, where sometimes, and because it always makes the news. I mean,
those people, of course, because the celebrity that's going to pop up, and it's a life-saving, you know, heroic act that they're performing at the same time. So how do you, the combination of those two, you really can't lose.
Yeah, whatever the actor's name is, who's McDreamy or McSteamy, I think he rushed in and pulled somebody from a burning car. I think he felt obligated. Plus, you know, just throughout those years of playing a doctor saving lives.
Sure, it was second nature to him.
Right, he knew some of the lingo, right?
Exactly.
Stat, he would say. So it happens. So if you've had any kind of brush with greatness, and it doesn't have to be positive. They don't have to have saved you. If you just ran into
somebody, you ran into and you had a disagreement with them, do you count that?
Yeah, let's say that they were really rude to you and it changed your opinion. Let's say you were the biggest fan of this person and then they were really rude to you. You don't have to share it if you want. Let's keep it positive and light. But I mean, that's an option too. 312-981-7200. Also on the kid side, so kids are all filled up. Our kids filled. They just ate candy all day yesterday and as much as they could sneak today. But around the world, you know, not everybody's eating candy. There's wacky snacks that people are feeding people. We're going to be talking about those. And when it comes to naming your kid, now, Dino, how did you get your name?
I was named after Dean Martin, the Italian actor, singer, multi-talent.
Actor, singer, drinker, smoker.
Drinker, yeah. You know, he didn't ever met a drink he didn't like. But, no, that was who I was named after many years ago. My dad was a huge fan of his, so that's how it started.
Now, Dean's been gone a long while, but have you had an opportunity to did you ever maybe as a kid have an opportunity to share that with him or even one of his relatives? Like, hey, I'm sure it happens all the time.
Well, the same question comes up. Yeah, how were you named or who were you named after? And, you know, that's when we discuss that. But, you know, other than that.
I mean, did you ever get to share that with any of the Dean Martin family?
No, I never got close enough to any of them to be able to share that. So.
Like, I tried, but, well, you know,
yeah,
tasers,
you know,
and
I tweeted,
spray.
I, you know, all Facebook. I tried. They just wouldn't listen.
And that's probably better than the most disappointing thing would be to share your story of how you were named after them and them just be like, yawn.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, you're one of 100. Come on.
So when you think about your name and you think about all the aspirations that we put on for our relatives, our nieces, our nephews, our children, and you think, could you affect it? Could you change that? Could you make them either successful or maybe smarter just by giving them the perfect name? I mean, right?
Yeah.
If you just name someone Poindexter, do they become really smart? I mean, come on.
A bookworm. You know, Bartholomew is that's another name. And, you know, some names are more successful than others. And, you know, we've got a list of... about 15 here, I believe, that we're going to be talking about in a few minutes. So,
and 312-981-7200, if you want to share how you got your name. And, of course, if it's just you're named after a relative, that is absolutely wonderful. But if there's an interesting story or if you were named by your parents for some reason, because obviously your parents hoped that you would become a successful singer.
Everybody loves somebody. No, that just didn't work out that way for me.
So 312-981-7200, you can share yours as well and then also be added in. And consider, we'll read it on the air, or we'll talk to you on the air, and we'll add you in for the Lou Malnati's Pizza. Yesterday, we had a really, really fun topic. A lot of people tried to get in on it. We didn't even have time to read them all or get them on the air for it. But it was a lot of fun. Dino, I know you've got some thoughts on that as your favorite, you know, pitch man of all time. You know, who was your favorite? I was surprised at how long we went back all the way to the Burt Wyman Ford days.
That was, yeah, that one. I'll never forget that. I'd watch movies with my dad, and, you know, all of a sudden those commercials would come on. 3535 North on Ashland Avenue. Here's the 1972 Ford Torino full factory air, and you just roll right into it. And I never forgot that guy. And even to this day, if I saw him, if I ran into him on the street, if he was still alive, you know, I'd be like, the guy that was on Burt Wyman Ford. It's just one of those memories you never forget.
Because you could combine a brush with greatness as well as one of your
exactly.
favorite. Because who remembers like the, you know, Hudson 327? What did they even sell?
Carpet.
Oh, okay. Well, so Dino knows that. So 312-981-7200. You can add your favorite pitch man in today off the air before we got on. We were laughing a little bit about some of the new ways that people can be great ambassadors for products. And no one, I don't think, was hurt in any of these. And so it's just kind of humorous, but part of a news report is those viral videos. And my kids absolutely love the ones. There's two of them. It's two ladies. One has bronchitis, and she doesn't have time for that.
Right.
I ain't got time for that.
Exactly.
I got bronchitis.
Right.
And then the other lady was also in an apartment fire situation, and her account to the news crew became one of those viral videos. You know, like,
right.
Not today. And I guess they're making... they've got some commercials out of
this? Well, the first one with the bronchitis got a couple commercials out of it. She did some kind of a real estate ad. I heard that on the radio one day. They were talking about that.
Are you tired of high property taxes? Not today.
No, ain't nobody got time for that.
That's awesome.
That, you know, that was, you know, when that saying came out, I mean, they were trying to apply it to everything, and whatever stuck, stuck, and apparently a couple commercials stuck for her. It wasn't very long, but, you know, she did cut a couple of them. They did play them on the air. So
one of the other ways you can get involved with the program throughout the entire course of the program, regardless of the topic, is in studio. Dino Tiberi is going to be with us for the duration. He is the nephew of Larry from Aurora. And so for Nick D fans, that is show royalty, right?
Yeah.
And so that's, we'll have to play the regal music as we get in. So you can share your favorite Larry from Aurora moment on that as well. 312-981-7200. It's Dane Neal in for Nick DiGilio. All that, much more. We'll be back right after this. 720 WGN, Dane Neal, Allstate, 7th Floor Studios here in for Nick DiGilio until 5. We're talking all manner of things and ways that you can get involved. Of course, what would be your favorite Lollapalooza? That's one. Brushes with greatness or danger with greatness or anger with greatness. That's one of them. Also, like kid names and some wacky things. When it comes to kids, Easter has got to be one of those big holidays, you know, not for all the religious significance necessarily. Of course, they go through, you know, all of the motions necessary for that, but they seem to be fixated on the candy. But, Dino, you said that, you know, sometimes what mayhem ensues.
There was just a couple of things that, you know, I read a story here. Pez, the company that gives out the little dispensers
with the candy.
Did
they give them out or did they offer them for sale?
They tried to the other day, and it didn't work out so well as – there was a lot of chaos, apparently, from what I was reading, and kids were not getting candy, and the parents were they ran out before they were supposed to start, and they were picking the candy up before they actually were told they were able to get it, and a lot of the kids didn't get anything, and it was just crazy.
Wow.
You know, because they dropped these. I saw one the other day. I was driving home.
They threw them out of a helicopter?
Well, they dropped the stuff out of a helicopter.
That's
into
never
a field.
A good idea.
And so I saw this helicopter hovering at a church, hovering in a field, and they literally dropped the candy out of the helicopter onto the ground.
And I don't have all of the answers, and Dino, you don't either. Dan in the booth, of course, doing such a great job with everything. The show still does not have all of the answers, but just from a liability standpoint, first off, you've got some crabby people. I don't think anyone was necessarily hurt, but they didn't get the Pezzes that they were hoping for.
Oh, sure, they did. You know, they were just saying, you know, my kid had a basket in his hand, and someone just ripped this candy right out of the basket.
Was it parents or other kids?
It could have been both.
I think this animal instinct kicks in where, you're out there kind of that caveman thing where, you want to provide for your child. You want them to have a positive experience, and you're not going to let any kind of common courtesy or even other children stand in your way. You're going to, you'll crush them.
Oh,
right?
They're going to roll right over them to get whatever they want.
And then you think just on the liability side. Because there being anything dropped from a helicopter, just try it. Just try to take anything, any light thing. Go stand on top of it. I'm not telling you to do this, but you know, stand at any height and drop it, and then have it land on your head. It's going to hurt.
Well, sure. And you know, they stay away from the helicopter initially, and then as soon as it lands on the ground, it just chaos breaks out.
And if we remember anything from a flying officer, Jim Cavanaugh, right?
That's right.
The helicopters don't always stay in the air, and I think just having a group of people underneath the helicopter.
And then the trash. Traffic, of course, you're driving along, people are watching the helicopter hovering. It's like, you know.
Here it is. Okay. Public fun events, dropping items, and then also helicopters should never be incorporated into your marketing plan.
Yeah. Easter egg hunt / helicopter.
Well, even if you're, a child waiting for the goodies to drop from the, and you're looking up, does everyone wearing protective eyewear? Did everyone sign a
waiver?
Yeah,
I didn't understand any of it. I just saw all these people walking towards the area, and then as I got further down the road, I saw the helicopter hovering above the ground. And people, and then scattering to try to find candy that was being dropped.
Unless it's like, well, my uncle's got an extra helicopter, and we could use that. We got some Pezzes. Well, now Pezzes are very collectible. People, they've got everything probably from, all your favorite cartoon characters. They might have a papal Pez. They may have any manner of kind of interesting character or individual in society. Pez does that. I mean, so they've kind of brought it upon themselves. They're very popular.
Yeah, and to their credit, they tried giving coupons and giving candy out after the fact, and you know, a lot of people were just disappointed from what I was reading about it, and it was just a weird, an odd story to see. And then, like I said, for me to see it as I'm driving down the road to see the same situation at this local church was just odd.
Okay.
It's a weird thing. And so that was, you know, it was just a strange thing that happened over the weekend.
So for, anytime, right, Pez dropping from helicopter, yes, it is strange. So when it came to some of the treats, and I'm sure you saw some of them being, you know, enjoyed or fought over, you know, in your own situations, is it still the traditional? I mean, the Peeps, we've got Peeps here in the studio, marshmallow eggs, chocolate bunnies. Was that basically
jelly beans? Yeah, it was the same. The candy was the same stuff from what I, based on what I was being told. You know, my nephews had gone to an Easter egg hunt as well, and so the same kind of candy you get everywhere else. And you know, it's been, you know, traditional stuff over time. Nothing new. I don't really think they're dropping, you know, Reese's Pieces or anything now. But
no, there's a winner. No, that's a good one.
Stick with the traditional stuff.
Okay. All right. Well, sounds good. So if people do want to share what their thoughts were or what they had for Easter, they can certainly do that. We did the traditional Easter egg hunt where you, you know, hide things in the yard. And then this came with sort of a scavenger element
right.
to it. Like, you've
no, that's always fun.
Got to find this. But, of course, you know.
Did you forget where you put things in case the kids couldn't find them? Oh, where'd this go, Dad?
I don't know. We'll find it later. No, this is an outside thing. So, and I, you know, I don't know. I really wasn't involved in a lot of the hiding. So, but I think it went smoothly. I mean, sure, I think a fight.
Well, eventually they got to the basket with all the candy in it, right?
It was pretty good. But they built the scavenger element into it. But as far as the candy stuff, yeah, it was all, you know, all true. The Peeps are still very popular.
Yeah.
You know, even though they're kind of tasteless marshmallows. And there's a lot of Peep haters out there, you know, that also just are against either the Peep for its tastelessness or just, you know, I think they look kind of cheerful. Dan seemed to enjoy his blue Peep that he
blue.
Had. Yeah, so he had that. And so we had the marshmallow egg. We had some mint meltaways. We had some other things. Their uncle came over and brought them way better baskets than we had. Which
showing
was,
you up?
No, we're not at that level to care. We're like, yeah. But, I mean, at first you're like, yeah, that's wonderful. And then you're also like, oh, geez, now they're going to. Because then, you know, our son Maxwell is he's a great negotiator. And so he'll talk the 4-year-old out of everything. Because
you don't want that.
He has all of his stuff. And then he makes it like, hey, you're not sharing when you don't give me yours, too. Well, when it comes to Easter traditions and some of those things on the candy side, we've got Chuck on the line. Chuck, welcome to WGN.
How you guys doing?
Good, thanks. So how did it go with Easter?
Easter? Okay, my kids are 16 and 17, so they're a little old for the Easter egg hunt and stuff. So what we do, we wait till Easter Monday and go and get the 50% off Easter candy.
Nice. Oh, well, that is the thinking man's way to
right.
enjoy Easter. Well, so, Chuck, what do you usually go after since you have kind of the pick of everything?
Definitely the chocolate. And you said Reese's Pieces. They actually make, or somebody said that, they actually make a carrot-shaped bag, and they put Reese's Pieces in there for Easter.
Oh, there
it
is.
So that can actually be an Easter candy. Mostly like the chocolate stuff, the Snickers eggs, the Twix eggs, and if there's Peeps, that's like a last resort.
They're down on the food chain, huh?
I think Chuck, they're right, in the last resort aisle, actually, I think. And Chuck, before we let you go, if you want to share, like, what are your kids' names, and why did you name them?
Oh, okay. Matthew and Joshua are my kids' names.
Okay.
Me and my wife got one of those baby book of Bible names and picked the name out of there after a Christian name. Matthew means gift to the Lord, and Joshua means Lord is my Savior, and that's actually how we picked both of their names.
Oh, those are great names, great traditional names. And Chuck, thanks so much. Happy Easter post-date. Happy Chuck Easter.
Enjoy your candy,
and thanks for being on the show.
All right, thanks. You guys have a good one.
You too.
All right, thanks, Chuck. So you can share your thoughts. What did you have for Easter? And, of course, you know, kids' names, you know, why? There's always a story behind it. No one just kind of random. Well, some people probably do. But there's no random, like, hey, what should we call him? I don't know. Let's figure it out later. Let's call him, you know, Brad. Right? I mean, there's always a reason. Some of them good, or some of them have an intentional purpose, like making sure that they're smart. We'll have some of those names from you when we come back. So we're going to go to a break right now. It's Daniel in for Nick on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Daniel in the All-State 7th floor. I think this is a showcase of its own kind, right? Lots of big windows here, Daniel.
Oh, absolutely. I love this studio.
why don't you marry it?
I want you to marry it, yeah.
Dino Tiberi to my right, who is also has royal origins when it comes to the Nick DiGilio show. He is the nephew of Larry from Aurora.
Yeah, I am.
That's great. Yeah,
he was one of a kind, no question about it.
embrace the Larry-ness, and we're definitely going to do that here today as people are embracing their thoughts on their own Lollapalooza. Had a couple people text in from the 773. Sting for sure at Lolla and Sabrina. Maybe I'm just out of step. I don't know who Sabrina is, but I do know Sting. Sting is actually going to be with Peter Gabriel at Summerfest.
Right.
This year. And so that is going to be great. Fleetwood Mac and the Eagles.
You know, the Eagles aren't going to be coming back, according to Don Henley, as, of course, Glenn Frey passed away a little bit earlier. There's no rules.
Past or present. We can channel people.
We could do that. That's a good point.
When we, in an earlier episode, we talked about the possibility for like a Super Bowl halftime show, maybe hologramming in. And as I think.
The Rat Pack or
anything.
Anybody.
Yeah. I mean, they could be in there for that. And then also, too, is the other thing is deciding what to name somebody or your kid, your niece, your nephew, or whoever you have the ability to name it. Maybe you're just like a designated namer in your collective.
Brother, I'm going to name your first child.
I'm just saying. At least you get a letter in the mail that you have to sign for. Then you know it's official.
Right.
What names? And do you name or have you named your children for the purpose of making them successful in a certain way or making them genius? We'll go through some of those genius names in just a couple minutes here. DJ had called in. We had a baby 2 weeks ago and chose the name Xavier. And they chose Xavier because it's translated means new house, and we're happy to provide him with a home and have him be part of our home. I love the name Xavier.
That's interesting.
The X-Man. So you have like a real name that's very cool, but then you also have some cool nickname opportunities. And then in our brush with greatness, and it could be a negative brush or a positive brush, Leo said he literally bumped into Eric Estrada at the airport and called him Ponch. Well, what would you call him? That's what I would call him that too. I may not reference his appearance on Celebrity Rehab, but Ponch I think was positive.
He's a Chips. You were the guy on Chips, weren't you?
He was not happy about it and says everybody called. So I guess he was crabby. But think about it. So for you, it's your first time saying Ponch. For him, it's his 1 billionth time hearing it.
Oh, of course.
And maybe he hoped for bigger things, right?
It just didn't pan out. I think the last I heard of him, he was doing. He was doing a soap opera somewhere, Spanish-speaking soap opera, last I heard.
Or a 1-800-COLLECT commercial. Come on. So those are all great. One thing that people were hoping for, at least on the kids' side, was Easter candy. And we did have people talking about, I guess in Arkansas, they do that turkey drop from kind of along the lines of WKRP in Cincinnati. Again, in every respect, ill-advised. But we do have Ruth on the line. Ruth, welcome to WGN.
Hi. My income is $5,000 a year, and I've been really very good at bargaining and taking the dollar and turning it into 10. So I haven't done it this year, but last year, as in previous years, I buy things after the holiday, which are marked down, and I wait until I get them 90% off. So last year, I bought a major manufacturer white chocolate bunny with a wedding cake flavor. And it has a good shelf life, and there was no difference in the taste from a year ago to now. And I melted it down. The bunny had a meltdown, and I dipped strawberries in it. And so it was wonderful, absolutely wonderful. White chocolate wedding cake strawberries.
See, but I think that's great, and that's really good advice too, is to kind of repurpose some of the candies. You could melt down some of that chocolate and use it for, like you said, strawberries or other things. Now, Ruth, before we let you go, and Chuck had brought up that he has his own Easter where they get out there and get some great deals on the candy. Where would you suggest? Where's a good place from an insider to get candy, after the holiday for a great deal?
Okay, well, all the major retailers sell them, and I haven't seen anything in the Easter departments before Easter. I didn't want to look. I purposely did that. So you can go with your name stores, which would be Walgreens, CVS, Walmart, any of the regular retailers that stock that merchandise prior to. And I used to, years ago, go looking in advance and then know what I was going to go for when the sales came down. But if I go the day after, it's 50% off. So now I'm just waiting till it's 75 and 90% off.
How long does it normally take? Is it another week after that?
Good shelf life, done? Dino. You know she said that.
Oh, that's true. Good point.
So how long, Ruth? How long do you have to wait? Are we going till June?
You mean to for it to be edible?
No, till you get to that 90% threshold.
Oh, each store has a different shelf life. And so you kind of have to also go along with what the economy is or how the merchandise is selling before the holiday. So usually certain stores, you'll have to get there within a week.
Oh.
And other stores, CVS, you'll have a good shelf life on after-holiday merchandise that might last 2 to 3%. And you can call in advance to find out. Have you marked it down to 75%? Or is it down? If you hold out to wait for 90%, I do really well, just as I do living on $5,000 a year. And I often think that I should be interviewed because it's miraculous to have the incredible life I have at that income. And people are struggling so much out there with the economy, and where there's a will, there is a way.
Well, Ruth, I appreciate you sharing some of the insights into getting out there stretching for that Easter candy. So I appreciate you being on the show tonight.
Okay, thank you so much. Good night.
Thanks.
All right, so that's good. So, you know, and those are, I think that's good. Not only on the repurposing, right? You can go ahead and melt it down, dip some strawberries in it.
Oh, absolutely.
But also, too, is if you don't mind, because then you don't even have to have maybe the stigma of, hey, it's, you know, it's shaped like a rabbit, right? You can just melt it down into whatever shape.
No one will know the difference at that point.
Arts and crafts, right. You got a big shelf life. So I forgot to ask Ruth how she became named Ruth. I'm guessing someone named her that, and hopefully that meant, you know, extend your means to have a wonderful life. And thanks again, Ruth. 312-981-7200. So here it is, the top 15 genius names. Sometimes when we get these lists, you know, you're like, okay, I'm just not seeing it. Researchers at a genealogy website tracked the popularity, so you know it's good, genius names in the U.S., England, and Wales, Ireland, Northern Ireland, New Zealand, Norway, Sweden, Scotland, and Belgium. And this is since 1880. But I think probably, okay, so the top 15 names on the list, regardless of gender, and these are all genius names, are John, Robert, William, Charles. Now, this is since 1880. Maybe back then there wasn't a lot of creativity and everybody was kind of just named John, Robert, William, Charles, David, James, Richard, Johan. So there's our Swedish
Europe
contingent.
Exactly. Right?
George, and then number 10, Paul, Thomas, Peter, Joseph, Mary, and Elizabeth. Those just seem like regular.
Where's Ringo on the list? I see all the other Beatles on here.
Those are regular names. So if you've got a name that you think of, I guess that it would be maybe thought of as more of a, because I don't see, I see regular, good, decent, normal, average
names.
People. But I also see, like, everybody. There's going to be some, you know, like serial killers in there, you know. Whereas.
That'll be the next list that comes out.
You're like, Dane, if the middle name is Lee.
If they have three names, first, middle, and last, not going to be on the genius list.
Then you know. Oh, here's another one from the 312. Lots of Easter candy, very inexpensive today at Menards. So head out there.
Save big money
when right on whatever. Menards, not just, you know, lumber, plywood, yard ornaments,
household items, candy.
They've got candy. So name off a couple names that you think of, Dino, when you think of smart guy.
Dean
or girl.
Oh, wait a minute, that's my name. I'm sorry. No, I mean, some of these names here are, you know, I would equate to being smart people. I know some people that are that had their names on this list, and I would consider them intelligent. So, John, you know, and William,
but not specifically brainy. I mean, there's every
just right.
That's just a name. There's a lot of people named John, and I'm sure there's a certain percentage of geniuses as the full scope of of however they decide. You know,
well, who would you think would be someone that would stand out as far as one of those names?
I mentioned it a little bit earlier, and I would say like Poindexter.
Poindexter.
Well, it sounds
more nerdish than anything else.
Well, nerds are traditionally smart, Dino.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you knew that. But a Poindexter. Let's say a I don't know, like Waldo.
No, not in a bad way. I'm just trying
Ralph.
To... I don't know. I guess I don't know. 312-981-7200.
Yeah,
water.
Caller with any... If you know an intelligent name, it should be on... It's not on this list. Let us know.
Yeah, like Crazy Willie. Not intelligent. I mean, maybe that's where I'll go as far as my circle of friends are the non-genius type. So if you have any of those that you want to share, 312-981-7200. When we come back, we're going to talk wacky snacks. We've talked about some of the candy, and you can get some at Menards. Some of these things from around the world, you can't find at Menards, but these are the things that kids are snacking on all over, you know, the planet.
Yeah, this is a pretty impressive list. I wouldn't have thought of any of these myself.
You wouldn't have thought of them as like, wow, that sounds great. Or you would have said like, I wouldn't have thought of putting that in my mouth. All right. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Plus all your thoughts on your own personal Lollapalooza. Lots of great suggestions. We'll get to those as well. 312-981-7200. It's Dane in for Nick on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Dane Neal in for Nick DiGilio until 5 a.m. today. We've got Dino Tiberi to my right, Dan in the booth. We're talking a little bit of names, kids. What do you name them if you want them to be smart? We don't have to finish that up. Obviously, people can text in 312-981-7200. From the 773, my children had to have an easy spelling name per my husband. My name is long, 10 letters. And she gives the name, but out of respect for her request not to mention it, I will not do that. But it's 10 letters, okay? And it took him a long time to learn to spell it correctly. So they had to be easy to spell. So he's like, I don't care what the name is. Just make it
make
Tom.
It short. Short and sweet.
Just make it
four
Tom.
Four-letter word. And
Tom and Gigi.
Hank.
So on the smart names... It's kind of tough, right? You know, you mentioned Chumley as a name that I agreed that would not be a name that doesn't inspire, like, you know, intellectual prowess, right? I don't think Chumley would say, like, well, that's a smart guy. and, you know, you don't want to just go specific like Dr. Stephen Hawking because you know he's smart.
Right.
But here's one, like Mr. Peabody.
Well, so from a cartoon, right?
Well, no, but if that's your name, then
someone's going to give you that name. Well, what are we going to name him? How about Peabody,
Mr. Peabody? Well, okay, Miss Peabody. It could be Mrs. Peabody,
yeah.
Or Miss, right? If they're not married yet, as an infant, as a newborn,
right?
But I think you have to say, is that name odd? Sure. Do you want him to be smart? Yeah. So you're going to go.
I don't think it's any worse than your selection of Poindexter earlier, but.
You're going to go Poindexter.
Right.
Well, smart kids around the world are named all sorts of different things, and there's probably some that I cannot pronounce because they're in languages I'm not familiar with. But they may mean to that population the impressive in, you know, and intellectual things. Well, you are what you eat, right, Dino? And so these are wacky snacks for kids from around the world.
This is quite a list, I have to admit. That's they're taking a look at it.
So dried squid. This is from China, dried squid. It's shredded to fishy goodness. So this, I guess, would be on the packaging, translated, of course.
Fishy goodness.
Fishy goodness. Eating this, I don't know, fishy and goodness. I mean, fish can be very good. But fishy goodness just implies fish as being more fun than I think it really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eating this sweet and salty snack can be an addictive feed. Just don't forget to give your kid a
mint or two. That's nice.
Okay. So that's in China. In Korea, sweet corn ice cream. Corn for dessert? You decide. What do you think?
Corn's a vegetable. It's a little odd. There is carrot cake. So it's a contradiction in terms. Sweet corn ice cream. No, that's interesting. I never would have thought of that in a million years.
Okay, so in India, not necessarily thought of as, I don't think, a naughty country. It's Kirkur Naughty Tomatoes. It's basically ketchup, a ketchup version of Cheetos.
So Cheetos, it tastes like ketchup? Is that basically how I'm reading that?
It's like the sriracha. Well, you can do that. Maybe ketchup is you know, an exotic flavor to our friends in India. Who knows? Marmite chips in England. No, I'm not sure what Marmite is. It sounds like it's either something
not Vegemite, like just like the
insect repellent or something you put in the garden. Love it or hate it, this polarizingly salty spread made from yeast extract has been converted into snackable. Chris, eat your heart out or not. So there you go.
Wow.
Okay, we got Li Hing Mui Hawaii. or Hawaii, as it's also known. And remember, Aloha Poke over at the Chicago French Market, that interview coming up a little bit later on in the program. And they don't have any of this. Popular among local kids in Hawaii, this dried plum covered in red Ling-Hing powder is a long-lasting acquired taste that is all sweet, sour, tangy, and salty. There's nothing wrong with that. That sounds actually okay. It's no
it's a mixture
goodness.
Of everything. Sweet, sour, it's all mixed up into one little, one tight package there for the Hawaiians.
What about the Moko Moko Mokolette from Japan?
Oh, sure. We can always count on Japan for the quirky confections, but this one definitely takes the cake. Mix water and the candy powder in a mini toilet for a sweet foamy drink.
Ew.
Yes, you drink it out of the can. Yeah, literally you're drinking it out of the can. So you're mixing it out of a mini toilet.
I think I saw a picture of that. Dan, is this one of those, this whole thing where it's the Japanese snack drunk like out of a toilet, is there something that we're missing here? Is there some kind of love affair or fascination with the commode for the Japanese people?
I mean, apparently so, because I've seen other similar things in the situation, and like this one is just a little minute. It'd be like the size of a small teacup, like a kid's teacup. So, and I think it's funny that they need the straw, because it's, you know, I mean, you could easily pick that up and just go straight from the bowl, but they went straw with this one, which is an interesting choice.
It's like taking a pixie stick, pouring water in it, and stirring it around, is what it sounds like.
Well, the words connected together, mini toilet and sweet foamy drink.
It's an interesting picture you're painting there, Rembrandt. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's terrible. Ugh. Okay, so and then Pelon, Pelo Rico, Mexico. This popular tamarind flavored soft candy is a hoot to eat, as it is squeezed through a tube with holes, producing a Medusa like effect. Okay, so there's food that's also fun, right? It kind of silly straws its way into your world.
Multidimensional there. That looks good.
And from our Irish friends, Dino, you want to take this last one?
Sure, the Tato chocolate bar from Ireland. Leave it to the Emerald Isle to create a potato chip chocolate bar. And better yet, it's cheese and onion flavored. So a potato chip chocolate bar with cheese and onion flavor in it. All these are just interesting concepts. I'm sure a lot of testing came out from the dried squid right on down to this last one, the Tato chocolate bar. I can't imagine any of these would be on my party list, but now, you know, you have to open up and, you know, be a little bit, have an open mind to these things, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, some of these things I could see, like cheese and onion flavors, those are good. You know,
yeah.
And they go together, and potatoes are good, and then you throw some chocolate in there.
Right.
I guess that makes
stir it all up in a mini toilet, and you got what you want.
Don't forget your straw.
That's right.
So we also had from the 847, we've got a couple, someone said for India from the 773 filet of rat. Now remember, this are
did I hear filet of rat?
Yeah, but that can't be. I think that's more of a joke. I think plus, and remember, these are kids. These are kids' snacks. I don't think kids start enjoying the delicacies till later on. And then also too is put your favorite Lollapalooza together. One of the things about Lollapalooza is the great food, and they do have a lot of great food for kids. And we're talking Summerfest as well. When it comes to Summerfest, some of those foods are great, like festival foods. Is there a festival food that you, like when you go to one of those things, whether it's a county fair, whether it's one of these top music places that you got to get, you know, maybe think along the lines of a funnel cake.
Yeah, that's where I was going. Elephant ears, as I like to call them.
A rainbow cone, if you will.
Oh, sure. You know, any of those treats are always good at concerts. You know, you're enjoying the show. You're drinking a couple of beverages and run across a funnel cake here and there. A churro, you know, that's another one. That's a very underrated snack. Why not?
You got your toilet big gulp with you. All right, so all those great topics, plus your brushes with greatness. And I'll share my brush. Well, I've got a couple of them. And not, you know, vocational greatness. These are just random people that you bump into. I think that's kind of what we're looking for. 312-981-7200 and your favorite Lollapalooza lineup. Personal Lollapalooza from the 847, Blue Oyster Cult, Jethro Tull, and Mountain. And that is from Steve in the limo.
Well, make sure you don't forget the cowbell on that one.
Okay. All right. It is. It's Dave. We've got Dino in studio, and we are in for Nick until 5. Got a quick break on 720 WGN.
Tiny bubble make me happy.
720 WGN. Dane Neal in the Allstate 7th Floor Studio. aloha to the listening audience. Of course, the 38 states in Canada doesn't reach all the way across the Pacific to the 50th state that is Hawaii. Dino Tiberi in studio as well. We were talking a little bit about some of the different foods that were available and popular all across the world. We did hit on a little bit of Hawaiian stuff. And in a second, we're going to talk with Zach Friedlander from Aloha Poke over at the Chicago French Market. But people are weighing in throughout the course of the entire program at 312-981-7200 with their dream Lollapalooza lineup. Some people have said that this year's lineup is maybe leaves a bit to be desired.
I don't know about that. I mean...
Some of those people not named you. And so they're weighing in with some of their other ones. And then also, too, is just on the names, like genius names, the list of the top 15 genius names. And granted, it is incorporating names from 1880. I guess they only had like eight names to choose from. It's like, but we already have three Johns. Well, you're John the Third.
Well, it's like that scene in, you know, Goodfellas when they're going through the...
You get nicknames.
Paulie, Petey, they're all the same names.
Jimmy No Nose, Jackie Knuckles.
Well, at the wedding, it was either Petey, Paulie, or was like always the same names.
Oh, and there's nothing wrong. Those names are great. It's just, I guess there's a thought process out there that if you could name your child something that would kind of just jettison them on this path towards super intelligence, you should do it. We're looking for some extra names.
How about Moon Unit?
Well, no, I don't know that that's... I think if you're...
that's not a genius
If you're
name.
An eccentric artist, you can call, things whatever you want. I guess I went with Poindexter or Mr. Peabody, right? But we did have some great suggestions from... from the seven... There we go. And someone said Maximilian, which is a good one. Miguelito.
Miggy.
And then as far as for the Lollapalooza lineup, Zamfir doing a pan flute rendition of one of Led Zeppelin's albums. I think that was great. Also, people are kind of weighing in with their brush with greatness. Maybe that's an inspiration for a name. I mean, you bump into a George Hamilton on a ski lift, maybe your child is named George. Right?
Yeah, you got to have about 4 gallons of Tanner with you, but that'll work out all right.
So Steve from Plainfield got on a chairlift in Aspen. That's a place to be, right? 20 years ago.
Of course.
Paired up with the tannest person and the whitest teeth. It was George Hamilton. And you know what? Unlike the punch brush with greatness with Eric Estrada, they spent the rest of the afternoon skiing together, and very cool guy. So that's what you want to see. You want people that you like. You want to be able to share those stories for the rest of your life, not, hey, this guy was a jerk. It's like we went skiing together, and now we're friends and exchange Christmas cards.
George Hamilton. Boy, oh, boy.
George Hamilton's he's one of those guys. He seems like a cool guy to hang out with.
Why not? He's certainly the tannest one you're ever going to see.
Don't be fixated. Well, just
all right,
his
let me ask you this.
He made a vampire movie. I think that shows range.
Who was your brush with greatness outside of your, the circles you hang out in with your food friends?
Well, okay, so this was a long time ago, and this is one of those kind of... But I think a lot of people have an experience like this. So I was in Hawaii. It was in Hawaii. Look at how it all ties together. In Hawaii for the Pro Bowl, and they play it there occasionally. And one of the better receivers at the time was a Pro Bowl receiver. That's the reason I guess he was there, was Sterling Sharp. You remember Sterling Sharp.
Oh, absolutely. Good old number 84 for the Pack.
Good old number 84. That's right. I guess the lesser successful brother. In all respects, when it comes to the Sharp brothers, because Shannon was a...
Yeah.
Because of injuries, right?
Right.
His career was cut
Sterling was a great player. If he wouldn't have gotten injured like many other players, he would have had a much better career. But his brother was, probably the better one of the two.
But Sterling Sharp was one of those, and he set NFL records. He was great, and he was a player that I actually really liked. And so my mom and I are walking along, I don't know, name the street, some kind of main street in Honolulu, and then there comes Sterling Sharp with his wife pushing a stroller. So I guess it was the whole family affair. I was excited to be able to meet, one of the better receivers, a guy that I'd followed his career and liked his career. He was still active. He's there in a street. It wasn't like I, busted into his hotel room and I followed you here, or I'm peeking in the window. This is on a major street. And I said, this is, Sterling, can I get... This was long before selfies were an option. We didn't have smartphones.
Right.
I guess you could have taken a Polaroid with them, but of course we didn't have the Polaroid. There were no photo mats or anything like that. And so I'd ask, hey, can I get an autograph? And then he said, I'm on vacation. And he didn't, so he wouldn't do it. And so then my mom had said, which of course she had said, like, your whole life is a vacation, which apparently now Sterling was known as being, he was kind of surly. Yeah, he wasn't one of those like happy-go-lucky players. He was more of a keep it to himself, maybe go on strike and be. And he's had an extensive career as an analyst too, where you saw kind of his softer, more humorous side. But anyway, so he gave me this look, and I think we all know the look of like, I'm about to beat you up.
The look of disdain, like, what are you doing?
Yeah. And so then I had to like kind of talk him down and say, like, it's okay. You just, you know, he's like, you know, I just let him go on his way, and we kind of just crossed the street and left him. But I felt actually, and it's crazy, right? This is someone that you appreciate. I felt a little afraid that there was some violence going to ensue.
So, yeah, it's good that you never crossed paths with somebody. Hey, there's that guy that bothered me in Hawaii.
Yeah, I don't know. So if you have a thought or an experience like that in Hawaii or any place else, 312-981-7200. But you're always going to have a good experience, Dino, if you get over to the Chicago French Market. I mean,
I know we talked about that. I still need to get over there and check that out.
Yeah, and now there's even another reason. It's a Hawaii-centric reason. And they've got everything from barbecue to lobster rolls to vegan selections to the best pastrami sandwich, you know, this side of the Pecos River on the planet with Fumari. And now they've got another brand new place that brings kind of the fresh island flavors of Aloha. And this is the only place in Chicago doing this poke style. And we've got him on the line. He is on the line with us, the guy behind Aloha Poke. It's Zach Freelander. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you for having me.
So, Zach, obviously we love the sand, the surf, the sun, you know, but the foods of Hawaii, other than maybe thinking of fresh fish or fruit, it's kind of a mystery.
It is kind of a mystery. Most people assimilate it with spam, which, of course, is definitely on the opposite side of the spectrum of where we're
going.
That's
crazy. Well, no, for those listeners out there that are thinking, gee, spam, Hawaii, what's the connection? Well, you know, hundreds of years ago, you know, the native Hawaiians would go out fishing for spam, and they would bring their nets up with thousands of little cans of spam. And no, I'm just kidding. But it is something that really did catch on there.
It did, yeah. And it's definitely caught on to the traveler culture. You know, us from the mainland heading to Hawaii, a lot of people are just, oh, spam, 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 spam. So it's pretty interesting.
Spam, super salty, but it does have, you know, a lot of fans here and there. So Aloha Poke, is spam going to be on the menu?
Right now, spam is off the menu.
Okay.
we might have a little fun with it for some specials.
Okay.
Right now, we are just keeping the menu real simple. We'll have ahi tuna and salmon. They'll both be sashimi grade. And that's it. We're going to have those two options. We'll offer them Aloha marinade style, which will be sort of your spicy chili flake, shoyu, sort of savory flavors.
Right.
And then we'll offer it naked style, which will basically be without the marinade.
Naughty. Well, yeah, no, exactly. It sounds really good. And, of course, the poke style as far as the fish goes. For those people that aren't familiar with that, explain kind of what that is and a little insight behind the name.
Yeah. So poke, traditionally, the word means to cut into tiny pieces or cube-like pieces. So we're getting anything from fish, chicken, meat. You could even do vegetarian poke. You could even do a spam poke if you really wanted to. as long as the pieces are cut into squares and sort of marinated and served with whatever. Typically, it was Maui onion and a little bit of macadamia nut. So traditionally, we've sort of veered from that traditional path on the mainland and started adding our bases like white rice and brown rice, mixed greens, kale, quinoa, and adding vegetables to that, and then topping it off with your sauces. So we've sort of added like the fat kid American approach to it, where we're going to add tasty sauces to everything and sort of elevate the flavor from there.
There's nothing wrong with tasty sauces.
There is nothing wrong with it at all.
So for the connection to the cuisine, the connection to the place, and obviously you're bringing it to Chicago French Market. But for Zach, like what made you decide to do this? Did you wake up one day on a beach in Hawaii and say, I've got to bring this food home? Or were you here saying, we've got to get some of this back here for Chicago?
You know, I wish I was on a beach in Hawaii. That sounds about nice.
just a suggestion.
Yeah, of course. You know what? I was hanging out with my business partner, and I'd been in hospitality for the past 10 years, and always thought of my own concepts. Where am I going to take them? When am I going to take the leap out of my management life and sort of go on my own? And, you know, I'd been to L.A. and had some more of the traditional style poke, and I'd been to Hawaii and had the more traditional style poke, and I'd been to L.A. and had a little bit more of the modern take on it. and love the flavor, love the concept. It's super fun. It's not being done here in Chicago. We're the first place opening up selling just poke in Chicago. There's a few sushi restaurants, Big and Littles does a little poke taco that's really tasty.
Yep.
And we just decided, you know what, there's market for it. Let's have some fun. Let's put out some good product and start the journey onto restaurateurship from here.
Well, you know that there's going to be a lot of fans just of what happens in Hawaii. And there's going to be fans of just that kind of cuisine, you know, like fresh fish and tasty sauces. You know, there's nobody that's, at least I don't know, of an anti-tasty sauce group out there. So you should have a lot of fans. The fact that you're doing it and being one of those pioneers doing it from the get-go as one of the first in Chicago has got to be exciting. But it's also got to be maybe like a little bit, you know, there's a little scariness in there. You want people to do it. So when you were thinking, this is exactly the thing to bring here, any concept could have worked, you went with Aloha Poke.
Yeah, I did. And you're right. It is scary. From somebody who's been in, you know, management for the past few years and a bartender before that, I was used to that steady sort of income for the most part. And now really kind of jumping in and trying a new concept where the grounds are untested here in the Midwest. And a lot of people are worried, oh, how are you getting, you know, fish to the Midwest? Is seafood going to do well in the Midwest? I mean, I think it is. We're Chicagoans. We love tasty food. It's not just about Polish hot dogs and, you know, all the toppings. It's really sort of turning into a little bit more of like a, let's be a little bit more conscious on what we eat. Everyone here in the city is starting to elevate their palate. And they're growing from these high-level, high-scale restaurants to more quick-service restaurants that are a little bit more approachable for our daytime commuters.
Well, I love the concept. And you can't go wrong with the things that you have as far as the selections that you've built in from there. And I love the idea, too. I mean, to have it at Chicago French Market is a perfect place because it is a place that it's already a destination for so many people that love and value, like, really good food. And also, and I mentioned it, early on, and like diverse options. I mean, they have everything across the whole scope. And so I think it will fit in very well. I think you're going to find an audience for it. I think you're going to find a lot of fans.
Yeah, we hope so. I think French Market's a great destination. You know, it's right in the West Loop. It's right off Randolph Street. It's really thriving. The whole neighborhood is really growing. And I think, you know, hopefully we'll make it happen. French Market is a great launch pad for any new business. And really was a great spot for us to get our feet wet, see where the brand takes us, and when it's ready to blast off, we'll find a couple more locations out there to fit us.
Well, Chicago French Market is listed as and well known as one of the great food courts, food situations of its kind in America, and I think to have it improved by one more Aloha Poke coming in very soon is going to be exciting. So for people who want to get more information about you, what you're doing, what kind of things they can expect, and of course they'll see you down there in person, but online, where can they catch you?
Yeah, you can find us at www.alohapokeco.com, or you could email me at zach@alohapokeco.com. Looking forward to having you.
Zach Friedlander from Aloha Poke, new addition to Chicago French Market, and first time bringing this cuisine to Chicago. Exciting stuff. And Zach, thanks so much for being in WGN.
Thank you so much for having me. Aloha.
720 WGN, Dane Neal in the Allstate 7th Floor Showcase Studio, along with Dino Tiberi, the nephew of Larry from Aurora, of course, a longtime fixture and celebrity as part of the Nick DiGilio Show.
Yeah, you know, I used to talk to my uncle a lot about Nick's show, and he always would tell me when he was going to call in, because he, you know, Friday and Saturday nights, he always made a point of calling in every time Nick was on the air. And so I would catch sometimes I'd be out in the car and I'd be driving back and I'd hear him talking, spinning some story that, you know, that happened to him years ago. And so a lot of them I was privy to because I saw some of the things that he was doing. And, you know, it's just he was a unique guy. I really miss him. He's been gone for a couple of years now. And, you know, a lot of just quirky things. We'd always talk Cubs baseball. He was a big wrestling fanatic. You know, as my mom's only.
You talk about the careers of maybe a Moose Cholak.
Oh, absolutely. He knew all the names of all those guys. And he used to take me to practices. He had an inn with the Blackhawks back in the early 70s. And I've got pictures with, you know, Bobby Hull, all the guys back in the early 70s that played for the Blackhawks. And he was a unique guy. And, you know, he really was loved on the show. And a lot of people, the one event that I went with them to was when Nick had a double feature at the Bruin View, and they introduced him in between movies. And boy, he got a standing ovation. It was just something.
Nice.
It was really cool. It was really cool. It was a neat thing to see, and I really appreciate all the things that Nick did, involving him in the show, because it really meant a lot to my uncle, and over the years, being able to talk to him about that stuff was pretty cool.
I was actually at that Bruin View, and your uncle brought the house down.
Yeah.
Like, everybody went nuts. It was crazy.
What was he doing entertainment-wise? Was it just his presence did that, or did he have something he was doing?
Well, no one really had seen him before. That was like his coming out party, so to speak. I mean, he called a lot, and then he had these videos that, he had a couple of videos that, ended up getting posted at a Facebook page they made for him. And no one really knew what he looked like, or, they just heard his stories on the air. And so he said, "You got to bring me down to this. They want me to come down." And, he asked me if I'd take him. And I'm like, "Yeah, sure." Well, Larry, my uncle Larry was a chain smoker. So one of the things that I made a point.
The dangling, like a Christmas tree air freshener?
Yeah, I made a point to him that if I was going to take him, it was in the middle of the summer. It wasn't like in August or July.
Yeah.
And so I made a point to him. I said, I'm going to have all the windows down, the roof's open. If you're going to smoke, you're going to have to stick your head out the window, because I don't want that smoke in my car. And so, he was on the way down there. He didn't smoke once, which was amazing to me, because the picture I always had of him was with a Pall Mall cigarette and a can of Mountain Dew when I was growing up.
So
it was one of those things you just don't forget.
So a commitment to healthy living.
Oh, absolutely.
Clean living.
When we got there, he brought in like a bag of liquor that he gave to Nick. I'm like, "What are you doing with all these bottles?" He's like, "Oh, I'm going to give this to Nick when we get there." So he did. He gave it to him, and then we sat.
I think it's an appropriate gift.
Yeah, why not? So, I went and parked the car. I dropped him off at the door. And then I met him inside. I couldn't find him. I was like wandering around looking for him. And like, Dan said, it was one of those things where the crowd just, there was a standing ovation for him, and they just loved him. And even after I went back to get the car, there was like 10 people outside of the theater talking to him. Like they were talking to a rock star. And I was like, wow, I really didn't know. I mean, I knew he had an impact on the show, but I didn't really know until that night
what
it was. And it was, it was really great. And so, that's all he talked about. Every time I talked to him after that, it was how much fun he had that night and how much, when he was going to call in next. And so, yeah, it's been a real, it's been a privilege to be able to sit in and on Nick's show tonight, knowing that, my uncle was such an integral part of it.
Yeah.
And that Nick's been doing this for a long time, and he included him in that. So it was special to me. It was great.
Oh.
So, yep.
So some of his relationships contributed to some of your brush with greatness, and he himself, did you consider it, like after that moment, that your Uncle Larry was a brush with greatness?
Well, absolutely. I had no idea. He was a big celebrity. And so, like I said, he had a lot of connections and a lot of things with the Blackhawks and a lot of different, he was a huge sports nut. So, when he had the opportunity, we were able to meet people I never had a chance to meet when I was a kid.
312-981-7200. Your own brush with greatness, of course, names that will lend themselves to intellectual success down the road. You can share those as well. 312-981-7200. Quick break. We'll be back right after this. It's Dane on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Dane Neal in for Nick until 5 a.m. Allstate 7th Floor Showcase. Still Showcase. Yeah, studio. I mean, we feel like we're being showcased with these wonderful windows. With the Allstate logo prominently and beautifully.
Surrounded by big buildings. Yes, we are.
Applied to it. The ways that people are kind of getting in on some of the fun that we're having with the show today is calling, texting in 312-981-7200 with either their brush with greatness or with celebrity in general. Could be great, could be negative, could be terrifying, right?
Yep.
And then also, too, is adding in, because we're kind of getting into the whole mystique of the name. What's in a name? Does a name mean that somehow that you'll, kind of, like if your name was, come on, right?
If you're named Ebenezer, you got a shot at being a smart man?
Or a Scrooge.
One or the other.
Or a Scrooge. So here's some of the lady names out there that we didn't get to, and these these come from countries all over the world, United States, England, Wales, Ireland, Northern Ireland. Well, it seems kind of like they're all in the same neighborhood. New Zealand, Norway, Sweden, Scotland, Belgium. And these are since 1880, so kind of a long list back when they just only had a couple names, you know, now to where we have lots of names like Chauncey. Hey, wait, Chauncey.
Chauncey.
Chauncey means be like a fancy guy.
Right? My God, it's Chauncey.
It's Chauncey. Female geniuses are underrepresented both historically and on the list, but other girls' names that appear in the findings of geniusness include Charlotte, Helen, Jane, Dorothy, Alice, Anna, Ruth. Hey, Ruth, if I would have said this,
Ruth, gonna... that was right. The frugal one. There she was.
She was a genius in getting candy.
Absolutely.
And being able to use it in the best way. Susan, Margaret. Now, Dina, you said that you met a Margaret before.
Yeah, I did. And
was she smart? Was she a genius?
No, I wouldn't consider it. I mean, she was intelligent. I don't think she was a genius. Okay, but, right. You know, I work with a Margaret now, and she seems very intelligent. So,
a genius, though?
Yeah, that's another level. I don't know. I don't really know if I've run into any geniuses in my life, but there's been a lot of intelligent people, but genius, that's a whole other level.
Some smart people are geniuses. Some are just great, you know, in whatever kind of vocation, whether it's athletics or, you know, if they're on television or in movies. And, of course, Steve from the 847 had mentioned that he had Gale Sayers in his limo. So there's a brush with greatness right there.
There it is.
Now, you said you had met Gale Sayers.
I did. I met him at O'Hare Airport. We were at Wolfgang Puck's having breakfast.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Now, you didn't imply that his life was a vacation, right? And so he was
no,
okay with you.
Yeah, I just said hello to him. I mean, I'm not one of those people that goes up and, you know, I'll say hello, and if they want to talk for a minute more, that's fine. You can kind of sense when you're talking with him that, yeah, you're bothering me, you know, like Sterling Sharp did with you. But I mean, I had a couple of those where, you know, Billy Williams is another one I met. You know,
he
was in a restaurant.
He's nice,
very nice, man. He was, we were at a Cracker Barrel of all places. That was, you know, where he's having breakfast, and I was having breakfast with my dad, and I noticed him as I was walking out. I said, you know, I just said, hello, Mr. Williams.
You're like, how's the macaroni and cheese?
I hope you're enjoying your breakfast. I say hello to him, and that's it. I mean,
it's just, you know, kind of keep it light. You know, if it goes beyond, like, hey, you know, it's nice to see you, and maybe it goes all the way to, you know, an all day ski trip on Aspen, well, then you never know.
Yeah. You never know how it's going to turn out. I mean, you know, I had another one I bumped into Vince McMahon from wrestling fame at McCarran Airport. You know, I was getting my bag, and I literally bumped into an accident and said, oh, excuse me. And then I realized, hey, this is Vince McMahon. And I asked him if he would take a picture. And
Whoa, that's a big step.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, he agreed, and I've got the picture on my wall at home. It's you know, that's one of those moments you don't forget.
You never know what's going to set a certain celebrity off. You think Eric Estrada punched. This is a positive thing. It probably led to a lot of the success that he's had, but he doesn't like to hear it. And Dana told us that through some of the intel based around the Nick DiGiglio shows that Vince McMahon is, I guess, anybody who he sees sneezing as a sign of weakness.
Man, am I glad I didn't sneeze around him.
It's like, I've never sneezed.
I probably would have been a chokehold right after that.
Right, okay. So sneezing, you're not going to want to do that.
No, not around Vince McMahon.
So does the Vince name imply either financial or wrestling success?
Well, it certainly could be wrestling royalty, maybe. You know, he runs the show. I don't know. Vincent, it might be his full name. I don't know. That would sound more genius than Vince. But, you know, I don't know. Vince McMahon, that name just, you know, strikes a chord. You know who he is. You know what he does.
Just don't sneeze.
That's right. Don't sneeze near him.
For the 773, someone mentioned George Foreman. All the kids named are George.
George, yeah. All of them.
And so have any...
Easy for dinner. George!
Have any of them become... Did they even get into sports at all? I mean, he had maybe 7, 8 kids, right?
Yeah, I don't think any of them... I don't recall any of them getting involved in sports.
Or maybe...
Or two of them did.
Become a grilling entrepreneur.
Well, someone's going to have to carry those grills on, you know, and George moves on down the road. But it's a family affair, and they're all involved in it, I'm sure.
And then for the 606, someone had mentioned Alexis. No, not Alexis, just Lexus. And then
like
they
a car?
They realized that was a car, right? So I think, you know, if you're going to – and it's a nice car, right? But when I think Lexus – and I think names can mean so many different things. I don't think – Lexus, it just sounds more like kind of like a evil villain – like,
And then Lexus came onto the scene.
Or Lex Luger. Or, yeah, I don't know. Okay, Lex Luthor. And then someone mentioned Alien from Alfred and Leon combined. And there's a couple of them where people are combining some of the names, like Benjamin and Joseph and Stefan. And then so they kind of just combine the family names in order to come up with something everybody can live with.
Interesting. I'm glad it didn't happen in our household. It would have been some odd names being thrown about, I think.
From the 630, someone had met Jay Leno at Giordano's. That's like one of your experiences.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you know, celebrities have to eat too, Dane.
In Milwaukee. Now, of course, the next text came in.
You met him at the Brat Stop on the way home.
And that's another thing, too, 312-981-7200. If you met a celebrity in maybe a situation that they're not necessarily proud of.
They let their guard down, they're just having dinner somewhere, and there you are.
Or they just said, like, let's not mention this. What do you think?
Well, that could happen. I haven't run across that myself, but it's possible.
So we've got from the 815, worked at a casino in the 90s, David Allen Coe came in for some high-limit slots. After numerous complaints, they roped the area off around him because...
Who was complaining? He was?
Maybe.
Too many people are getting close to me as I'm playing.
Well, the rest of it, you know, it could be either that, you know, people were trying to come and say hello to him.
Might throw his mojo off.
But also it says he smelled like hot death. And that doesn't sound like, unless that's, and you know, I haven't spent a lot of time in casinos, but he's like, hey, I'm hot. Is that like a positive? Like, I'm really hot? You know?
Like, well, hot death's probably not going to be a positive, but if he's hot and maybe he's, you know, he's got a good streak and all of a sudden these people come up and wreck his good luck. I don't know. That's a little odd story there.
Back to the other one. As far as Jay Leno, and you mentioned, you know, that they've got to eat too. Giordano's at Grand Avenue Mall in Milwaukee. That's not something that you expect to see. He had a show at the Potawatomi Bingo, and he was still host of the Tonight Show because he's always out there honing his craft.
Of course.
Right. And they said hi to him as they were leaving. That was from Gary. So I think that's maybe the rule. If you don't want to have either a dirty look or a bad memory forever, you're not always going to hit a home run by hanging out with George Hamilton all day. But just say hello, and usually that's pretty safe.
Yeah, I think that usually works out well. I know my sister one time when she was in New York, I think she met Yogi Berra, and that was one of my dad's childhood favorites.
He would be a great guy.
Yeah, and so I think she got a picture with him, and... she's run across, she's had a couple of brushes with greatness. Chaz Palminteri, the actor, she's met him before. And Tommy Lasorda, tried to get Tommy on the phone to talk to my dad. And I think he left a message for my dad on his voicemail.
What did he say?
I don't remember exactly what he said, but it was just the same thing. It was like a breakfast. She ran into him and said, my dad's a huge fan of yours. Would you mind leaving a message? And you know, Tommy was really, you know, cordial about it. And so, you know, it was, you know, a long time ago, but I don't know exactly what was said, but it was pretty cool that he was willing to do that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that would be like the Yogi Berra would be one of those guys that you would love to meet and say more than just hello to, right? Maybe have a conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're just known for so many cool things. And here's another guy from the 717 is my grandfather was good friends with Walt Disney. You know, and
now, imagine that.
Well, but then you wonder, I mean, how could that experience live up to whatever the expectations are? You almost don't want to like talk to him because then he's rude. Then it's forever. Like, Walt Disney was a jerk. Or maybe he's weird like J. Edgar Hoover. Or something. He said really weird, inappropriate things. And there's Walt Disney. You know, I mean, you don't want that to happen.
No, that's true. And, you know, I have a good friend of mine that I've known since I was in junior high. He was out of Pebble Beach, and he ran into Clint Eastwood on the golf course.
Did he go Dirty Harry, or was
no,
he more like
he
any
was,
which
he
way
got
but
a picture
loose?
Taken with him? No, he was very nice, he said. I think he may have been the mayor of the Carmel at the time. You know, I know he ran.
Oh,
he was
good.
From the, I think it was probably back in the 90s, but another brush with greatness.
720 WGN, Daniel in for Nick D until 5 a.m. up in the 7th floor Allstate Showcase Studio. Dino Tiberi to my right. And when you think of your brushes with celebrity greatness, people are sharing them. They can continue to do that. We're going to put all of those, everybody who's kind of chimed in on the name suggestions, either thoughts on their own names or their kids' names or how they got them and the thought process and what it's led to, or your suggestions for a genius name, you know, that's out there, the name that you can give your kid that will lead them to intellectual stardom, right? 312-981-7200. Everybody who calls in, checks in, is going to be entered to win a Lou Malnati's pizza at the end of the show. So Dino and I will be giving that away. But some of the greatness that we have and our brushes with it, because these shows did not last forever, would be some of the programs that are out there that were spinoffs from shows that, you know, you think, what is the best path for greatness of a television show? Well, you just use the same premise that you had from an already successful show, and maybe you have some of the individuals involved, and you kind of blend it all up, and you pop out with something brand new, some more successful than others.
Some stick, some don't. There's, you know, there's been a lot of them over time, and I can certainly think of a couple offhand that are, you know, we've got a list here of 11 of them. You know, The Golden Palace, the spinoff of The Golden Girls.
You know, I want to say, for those people who haven't seen it, I want to say, like, you know, the girls find themselves in an ancient castle, you know, in Scotland. But it's Bea Arthur. She was awesome, right? Was the only main actress from The Golden Girls to not appear in this series.
What,
because
a contract dispute?
Right. It was a dispute over the action figures and the merchandising that was bound to be a success, which sees Blanche. I wonder if, what is Blanche, name-wise?
The only other time I ever heard the word, the name Blanche was from The Odd Couple.
Okay, sounds mean. Rose, well, that's, you know, that sounds nice. And Sophia becoming hoteliers after purchasing an Art Deco gem known as the Golden Palace Hotel. Despite, now look at this, so they even had an all-star cast. Don Cheadle and Cheech Marin, those two guys haven't worked together that often in supporting roles.
Maybe never.
The Golden Palace was booking at about 10% capacity. So all of the hijinks that can ensue by running a hotel. Did you ever see that movie?
Show? No, never, not once.
Dan, did you ever see that show?
No, I've never even heard of it.
You think with the star power of a Don Cheadle and then Cheech Marin with his brand of inebriated comedy.
Cheech Marin on with the Golden Girls. That's terrific.
Dan, turn off your mic. Then The Lone Gunman, that's 2001, spun off of The X-Files. Of course, The X-Files capitalized on all of the kind of, you know, the mystery that is surrounding with, you know, galactic domination and aliens and things like that. And I mentioned it to you, too, Dino, that like our boy Maxwell, he's been staying up at spring break. And so he's been staying up watching unsealed alien files.
Really?
Yeah. And so in the morning he woke up and he's Dad, do you believe in aliens? And I said, I don't know. Maybe. I don't want to say yeah. You know, of course, I sort of have my thoughts, you know, this Area 51, you know, and was there a cover-up? But I'm not really invested. I don't have that kind of time. I've got bronchitis. I don't have time for that.
Exactly.
I don't have time to worry about aliens. Either way, so we'll get into that in a little bit. The Lone Gunman, 2001, off of The X-Files. So Agent Fox Mulder's favorite trio of conspiracy theorists, better known as The Lone Gunman, went from recurring characters to leading men in 2001, while the show, which was co-created by Breaking Bad's Vince Gilligan, along with Chris Carter of the Vikings,
he does score touchdowns.
Right. John Scheinman and then Frank Spotnitz was met with critical praise, but audiences did not agree, and they simply weren't tuning in. It was canceled after just 13 episodes, which I think is still a nice run, but had the unusual opportunity to address its unintentional finale's cliffhanger in the ninth season.
Tied that right back to The X-Files. Very nice.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So people are, you know, sometimes if you've ever been on the set for, you ever been on the set for a movie?
I haven't.
Was actually downtown when they did the parade scene for Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, right. So we're sharing people, 312-981-7200. We'll talk about some of these. And then also you can share your brush with greatness. We do have Tyrone on the line. Tyrone, welcome to WGN.
No, this is Steve.
Oh, hey, Steve.
I was 9 years old. This is in 1973, but I was trying to get Willie Mays' autograph, and I ended up in the limousine with Willie Mays, yep, Willie McCovey, and Bobby Bonds.
Wow. Talk about a brush with greatness.
And they drove me around the block and dropped me back off at where we greet the players at. That to me, it was great. I'm 9 years old, sitting there with three athletes.
Steve, what did they say in the limo? Did they say anything to you? Like, how did you get in here?
His escorts put me in the limo because they thought I was with him.
Oh.
They all signed my ball glove.
Oh, that's pretty great.
That's awesome. Forget.
How old were you at the time?
Nine.
So you were nine. Now, were your parents in the van or the car, the limo with you, or were they aware where you were going? Because, in this day and age, I would be worried, where did he go?
I was chasing them, and I got shoveled right into the car by their escort.
So it was a combination brush with greatness kidnapping.
My dad was going nuts.
Oh, I bet. Were they waiting for you when you got back?
Yeah.
Now, were they excited or were they more relieved that you were okay?
He was tickled with a ball glove.
Okay.
There it is.
Different times. Okay. Well, that sounds great, though. Thanks, Steve. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
So there you go. So sometimes, what you have to do is just go with it. We've had two success stories on The Brush with Greatness, and both of them, kind of have to do with riding somewhere with a celebrity or one or two, whether it's,
a ski lift
with George Hamilton.
or just being kidnapped on the side of the street
driven around the block. Right. I would be like, where's the kid?
If you were a parent. Yeah, you think if that happened today.
Come on. So Maxwell is 9 years old.
And he's standing there with you on the curb. All of a sudden, he's whisked off in a limo around the block.
And, the block, I think they're of typical size, right? So it would take more than no time to, drive around the block. So you're looking at, 5 minutes of, where's the kid?
Right.
And he pops out with the mitt. I guess that's a super happy ending. But I would be worried. I think parents would be. You'd already be into the... in the whole, the front office of the place saying, put out the
APB's out for him. Where's the kid?
The APB. Well, when it comes to these shows and the spinoffs, I think that there has been a long, APB for more Brady entertainment. And so Brady Bunch, that was a show we all grew up with, right? I mean, that was a show whether you enjoyed it as reruns like I did. Obviously, I don't remember it as its original. Because it was major primetime entertainment at the time.
Yeah, it was on during the week, and of course all the reruns that ran for forever. It's still running today, I'm sure, someplace.
So many common kind of morals to the story of just the challenges and triumphs of growing up in a large blended family, right? So they were breaking new ground there. Like, hey, you could be from over here, and you could be from over. You get together, and hey, we're
three girls on one side, three boys on the other.
Marsha, George Glass. So the Brady. So. It worked, and so more of that couldn't have been a bad idea. The Brady Brides, 1981, spun off of the Brady Bunch.
A one-year wonder.
Originally created as a television movie called The Brady Girls Get Married. So some brilliant television executive somewhere, that sounds tongue-in-cheek, said in 1981 what we really needed was more Marsha. So they turned the movie into a four-part miniseries with the final episode serving as the pilot for the new series that see the sisters fall in love and not with George Glass. Right, this is real people, and not their brother, get married in a joint ceremony. Well, that's the way you do it.
Get married together, then they buy a house, and they all move in together. Wait a minute. That's a believable storyline. It happens every day.
Which that story, that show then became, I think, the precursor for the successful Big Brother house.
Exactly. About 10 episodes later, that show was history. The Brady Brides.
Oh, and there's quite a few more. We're going to get to some of those as well. Of course, your calls and text at 312-981-7200. You can do the Lollapalooza. What would be your favorite bands? Of course, your names. What would you name your child to ensure success in whatever arena? And your brush with greatness, good, bad, right, wrong, or indifferent, even if it is part of a kidnapping plot by Major League Baseball players. You can do that. We're going to take a quick break. It's Dane in for Nick on 720 WGN. Play it, Dino. 720 WGN.
Advance for my good there, Dane.
Here in the All-Stage Showcase 7th Floor Studios. We're talking all manner of things. How to name your child, how to give them that name that will lead to intellectual success down the road. You could call him whatever. I suggested Mr. Peabody or Poindexter. we've had quite a few different names come up. Also, Albert, Llewellyn, Idris. So these are different names. Those are more serious names. Those make sense.
Is that second one Llewellyn?
Llewellyn, yeah. That's not a terrible name.
Doug Llewellyn from the People's Court.
performing the isn't that like the Harvey role that you know he does now in People's Court?
Right.
He was the guy standing outside,
hard hitting after the verdict's been delivered.
Yeah. You need somebody
getting the quick reaction from the people walking.
Well,
out.
A Rusty Burrell, you know, he didn't have the you know the capacity. Maybe just wasn't comfortable kind of doing that MC role, setting things up for Judge
right.
Wapner.
Yeah, you can only do one thing at a time in the People's Court. That's how that works.
If anybody has met Judge Wapner,
call in.
981-7200. Here's an interesting one. In 1968, we met, and this is from the 847, Rosemary from the Dick Van Dyke Show at Pheasant Run Playhouse in St. Charles. Was that show had to be, was it still in its heyday in 1960, probably, or maybe it didn't.
Oh, no, it was, that's back when it was on. It was back in the 60s.
Yeah, so that was big. That was big. It's not like meeting Mickey Rooney last year at the Arcata Theater, you know, where he wasn't like the biggest celebrity, you know, in history at that exact moment. So this would have been prime time.
Yeah, that would have been a big time then. And, you know, I was wondering maybe Maury Amsterdam was around. Maybe he was lurking in the background. Rosemary, Maury Amsterdam. That was a great show, Dick Van Dyke.
You know, when you're
moving. 90 years old, he's still rolling,
yeah.
Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, no. He's
unbelievable.
Bill and Wendy, I think, had him on not too long ago, and I remember talking with Bill about that. And just, like, impressive. Not only the career is impressive, but the longevity of it. And I guess he's still just absolutely.
Still active.
You know,
he's just doing everything.
Quick and great. Yeah, Dick Van Dyke. Wow.
Brush with greatness right there. Rosemary.
There you have it. Okay, so here's some brushes with greatness where these shows kind of brushed up against other shows that were actually successful, and these are spinoffs. Yeah, that didn't make it. So Tabitha, and this one went from 77 to 78. It spun off of the successful multi-Darren-laden show, which was Bewitched. Remember, they had a couple Darrens?
Well, you needed a scorecard
Dick York
to keep track
and a Dick Sargent.
Yeah, Dick Sargent, Dick York.
Little Tabitha Stevens, daughter of Samantha and Darren, is all grown up. And, like Mom, she only needs to wiggle her nose in order to make magical things happen. Sound familiar, right? All the crazy hijinks at Wiggle Wiggle. Viewers not
well,
so
she made
excited.
The viewers disappear after that first season, I believe. That was the end of that.
Inadvertently. And but see, like that would have been, like, who was the star of that show? It was the... What was her name? You know, Dick York, Dick Sargent, you know, they were on the show, but the main person was, what was her name, that actress?
It was Elizabeth Montgomery.
Elizabeth Montgomery. I mean, she was the star of that show.
Absolutely. So she was the one that made that one go.
If you met her, then you would consider that a brush with greatness.
No.
I know that I would. And if you ever met somebody who ended up becoming president of the United States, I mean, it's, I think, a brush with greatness undeniably. And Barbara from the 708 has that. Barbara, welcome to WGN.
Also my birthday today.
No.
Happy birthday to you. Happy
Thank
birthday
you.
To you. Happy
80 years old.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Wow. Congratulations
for you.
On all that successful survival. So, Barbara, you met
Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, tell us about it.
At the Chicago Theater. It was in the 50s when they still showed movies in those years. He was in the movie with Spring Byington.
So, no, when you met him, was he on the screen or was he in the theater
no,
with
out
you?
In the alley. We used to go down there all the time and get autographs out in the alley between the theater and the...
So you'd get them when they come out of the theater and maybe
right,
they were having
right,
a,
right.
taking a break or going to get into a car or whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
So, Barbara, this is really an interesting time period for Ronald Reagan. Obviously, you know, it's kind of between his, you know, some of his Hollywood success and stardom, but before his you know, amazing
political career. Yeah.
So what was he like? Was he nice or was it one of those he was rude and I'll never forget it?
Oh, no, he gave me his autograph, but I don't have it. I lost it.
Okay. Well, at least you're able to get it from him, though. That's that's something else
yeah,
right there.
Pretty good.
Yeah, you've got the memories. Well, thanks so much. Anybody else that you ran into that you thought of? I mean, that's hard to top that one, but
Alec Guinness in New York.
Oh, that's a nice one.
Yeah, and he posed for us for a picture. That was during the World's Fair in the 60s.
World's Fair. All right.
Yeah, New
Alec
York
Guinness.
World's Fair.
Oh, well, those are great stories.
And Jack Lemmon in Sardis.
What?
Oh, see?
You've been
I said,
all...
hi, Jack. And he goes, hi. He goes, aren't you Anthony Newley's friend? I said, no.
Now, at that moment, was a Walter Matthau anywhere near there? They've done some great work together.
But they all went and Sardis, and you could see all the celebrities in Sardis in those years.
One of those.
They all went in there.
It's cool. Like a Gibson's, you know, that's where they show up.
Like a pump room, kind of like one of those cool hip hangouts.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, happy birthday, Barbara.
Hey,
thanks
honey,
so much.
Thank you.
Yep. Enjoy. Thanks for being on the show. So that's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. I mean, those, and I know that we've got our own versions of those kind of figures that are around today, but Ronald Reagan, you know, not every day do you run into somebody that that was a president.
Well, of course not.
What about Tom Skilling? No, I'm just kidding. We'll run through it. All right, so here is one, and I loved this show. The show Cheers was one of those that kind of, you know, you want to go where everybody knows your name, right? Or a place that you can kind of hang out and hang out with an ex-baseball player like a Sam Mayday Malone, right? Or maybe the mailman, right?
Why not?
Maybe
of course.
Norm, Cliff, Clavin. And so the Tortellis, this was in 1987, spun off of Cheers. Those were kind of minor characters there, right? There was the waitress.
And her husband.
Carla and her husband, the ex-husband, and then he dated, or I guess he was married to, Casey Kasem. Wasn't it Gene Kasem that was
I think you're right about that. I'm not totally sure of that, but I believe you're correct.
So here it is. The Tortellis 87 is spun off of Cheers, which continued long afterwards. Nick Tortelli, the gross but lovable. Depends on who you're asking. Ex-husband of the foul-mouthed barmaid, Carla. That's your role. Foul-mouthed barmaid. Hey, Mom, I got a job.
And gross ex-husband.
That's me. I got a couple lines. Was arguably one of the series' favorite recurring characters who was not officially a bar regular, right? Not sitting at the bar every episode. The Tortellis proved that Nick and his very blonde and very ditzy and very tall, right? I remember her. But he was also very short, as was Carla. Very ditzy new wife, Loretta. A.K.A. Loretta, I guess that's phonetically done for me, worked better in small doses, but they continued to make guest appearances on Cheers following their own cancellation. So kind of a silver lining there.
An interesting concept. Once again, not working out very well.
We've got a couple more that we're going to get to. 312-981-7200. You can definitely share your thoughts on like the perfect name for people. Alfred is another name that came in. From the 219. I think Alfred sounds...
That's right out of Batman. He was a guy that... The butler.
I think it sounds
like
a butler.
Show.
I think it sounds like a... But a very smart guy.
Right? Absolutely.
So you can suggest that as well as share your brushes with greatness. We've got a kind of a high bar now with, you know, we've got presidents and then some great Hollywood stars. And so it's going to be tough. 312-981-7200. 720 WGN, Day Neal, All-State Showcase Studio, high atop the sixth floor here at Tribune Tower. Get it? We're on top of the sixth floor because we're in the seventh. Yes.
Well, crafty.
Dino Tiberi to my right, 312-981-7200 to add your thoughts. And here's the way that people are doing it. There's a few different ways, and everybody who enters in either by text or by phone is entered to win the Lou Malnati's Pizza.
You can't go wrong with Lou's. That's all I know.
That's right. You can't. And it is one of those pizzas that says Chicago no matter where you go. I mean, it's the one that's battled the New York pizzas on television and everywhere else. So it's certainly something that I don't even know if you eat it, right? You just put it on the mantle.
You just take a look at it in amazement like, oh, look at that pie. It looks
great. I have heard that people have taken their wedding photos and even some of their family photos with a Lou Malnati's pizza. So imagine a woodland scene behind, right? And then you got the people, the kids, and then the pizza.
Oh, look at that, honey. Look at that, Lou's. Doesn't it look great?
Things that looked great maybe on paper for the studios but did not translate into television success are some of these, and we've got just a couple more before we get into the animal stories, little Tommy. So the Models, Inc., and this was 94-95, spun off of Melrose Place. Now, Melrose Place was a spinoff of Beverly Hills 90210, an undeniable success with so many, right? Didn't you have like a, who was it, like a Luke Perry, right? It was like a Shannon Doherty.
Yeah, that was that whole cast back then. That was a very successful show. And then, you know, Melrose Place was another one that followed right after.
Yeah, that was successful.
One.
But I think it's like cloning, right? You can only, if it's going to be a cat or a sheep, you can only get a few generations out before things start to break down. And they did on Models, Inc., technically spinoff Squared. It's spinoff of Melrose Place, spinoff of Beverly Hills. Show's only real purpose was to capitalize on the fact that supermodels like Cindy Crawford and Naomi Campbell were taking over the world I was not aware of their domination globally.
Not me neither, really. I know those two names. I didn't realize they were taking the world over, though, at that point. All right, you must stop or we're going to sick Naomi Campbell on you.
I got those, right. I got those letters and the tax bills. And, of course, they were mayors of my towns. I don't know where you lived, but taking over, I thought we were doing it together. Models, Inc., only real contribution to the pop culture conversation. It introduced the woman who would become Trinity, Carrie Ann Moss, to the world. Oh, wow.
Yeah, she was on that show, and that's about all that's really standing out with that one.
Well, if you met some of those cast members, I don't even know if you could remember their names to say that they were a brush with greatness. You never know. But listeners are doing that today, 312-981-7200. And we've got John on the line. John, welcome to WGN.
Morning. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, John. So who did you meet, and did it go well?
Well, I'll tell you, I'll try to make it quick. One night, 4 a.m. in a Rush Street bar was Norm Van Leer.
What? Good old number two.
Yeah, yeah. I just looked up. He died in 09. But the funny ones were Michael Flatley down in Las Vegas. I'm waiting in a long cab line at the MGM Grand. He comes out with somebody else, goes right up front to some young blondes, and gets in a cab. And he cuts out of the line. I yell out, "Hey, Michael, I think they're too young to know who you are."
Oh, was that was
the Lord of the Dance?
That was
Michael
Flatley? Yeah, Lord of the Dance.
That was, now, was at the time, and John, see if you can remember, just kind of take yourself back, was his shirt open all the way to the to his navel?
It was pretty far down, yeah. I mean, the audacity to go right to the front of the long cab
line. If I'm looking this good, I can't wait behind all these people.
And these girls, right, these girls are so young, I don't even think they remember him or knew him.
Well, do not underestimate the power of the exposed, quote-unquote, manly chest, you know, and so regardless of his dancing prowess, I'm sure they were impressed.
And I'm in a half hour waiting for a cab, you know. And then Magic Johnson on the elevator at the Mandalay Bay.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not even a sports fan, so I'm running into Norm Van Leer, Dan Hampton at the old FX on Rush Street. Jerry Springer, the Jerry Springer.
Now, what is Jerry Springer is a guy, and of course the sports players and you know all around Chicago, so many people have seen them, enjoyed him, and they enjoyed, of course, their time out with the fans. Jerry Springer's a little different because he is sort of kind of a Ringmaster Ned of chaos, right? Where he's there telling people to take care of themselves and each other. Meanwhile, people are taking their shoes off and pulling their wigs off,
chairs and
taking their clothes off.
Oh, unbelievable. So this is down in Sarasota. He's coming out of an ice cream shop, has a nice blonde on his elbow, maybe his wife. And they're getting ready to get into a black Bentley. I go, "Jerry, you on vacation?" He goes, "No, I live in Sarasota." I said, "Oh, have a nice night." He goes, "You have a nice night also."
Well, see, this sounds good.
Oh, no, they were all good. Oh, one time, Harry Carey on Rush Street.
Hi.
Yeah, stupid me, it's 2 in the morning. I go, "Holy cow." And he gives me this dirty look.
Oh, no.
Turns around and keeps on walking.
That doesn't sound like Harry, I'll tell you that.
Oh, well, he probably had so many of those. Holy cow.
You know, that's an important thing, because Dino's had some success just saying hello to people as opposed to coming up and recognizing some of their work, because you never know how with them, if they're just used to or maybe sick of hearing it. So you never know. But it sounds
You never know. Yeah, you never know.
It sounds like some awesome stuff. Well, thanks, John. I appreciate you sharing.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. You know, Rush Street, any time of the night, you never know who you're going to bump into, especially with the sports figures.
You never know. All right.
Hot bed of activity.
Thanks, John. Thanks so much. Well, those are some great ones.
Yeah. You know, some good names there. Some Chicago legends in there.
Somebody ran into Danny Glover.
Yeah.
And said he was very polite. I would expect that. He seems like a polite guy. And I'm trying to think if this one, The Exorcist, was born somewhere. Oh, so this is back on the name thing. I didn't know if they met Linda Blair, because we have a couple different ways that people can participate at 312-981-7200. So 773, my mother was reading The Exorcist in 73 when she was born, so my middle name is Reagan because she thought it was pretty. It was going to be my first name, but my dad didn't think I'd be able to spell it. Well, I mean, not immediately. I mean, kids can't.
When you're one, that's a little bit difficult. And maybe writing it would be a little tough then, too.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, if there's names that are out there, certainly some names, because they're part of a hit movie, probably they can say become, you know, more popular. I'm sure there's a lot of kids out there named Harry Potter now, right, that are
They said that Katniss was really popular for a little while because of the Hunger Games.
I could see that because that seems like...
Katniss?
Not catnip, Dito. No, we're going to... But yeah, I could see that, right? You know, I could see that happening. That seems good. Yeah, Harry Potter, maybe not so much. Yeah. So when we come back, we're going to go along that line as well because we've got some cool... you know, we love animals. Yeah, I've got... You know, Dino, do you have any pets?
I don't currently. I grew up, my mom loved pets. She had just about every pet you could think of in the house. Dogs, cats, you know, there was all kinds
Barakeet.
Of... Barakeet? Oh, the birds, maybe a fish.
Alligator that
a
wears diapers.
A ferret at one point.
Sign language. A
turtles. Wow. Yeah, I mean, it was like... I felt like I was in Mutual Omaha's Wild Kingdom. I tell you, there were more animals in there than there were people at one point.
So many things that they're doing out there. All sorts of exciting things. Also, of course, Brushes with Danger on the pet side. We're going to talk about that when we come back from this break. It is Daniel in for Nick on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Daniel Allstate, 7th floor showcase studio. Lots of windows here. Awesome Allstate logos affixed to those windows. Dino Tiberi to my right, and you guys, listeners, are supporting and participating in the program in a couple different ways at 981-7200-312-981-7200. You can text in, you can call in. People are sharing their brushes with greatness, and we've had some pretty great ones, right?
There's some interesting names popping up.
And names.
And, well, and the time frames, too. It's like back in the 50s, the 60s, all the way up.
All the way up to Danny Glover at the Hyatt. Now, are there any animals out there? You know, and there have been animal stars, of course. You know, we remember, I can't remember, Leo Cassiteri was his name, and he had worked on the Morris the Cat commercials. And Morris the Cat was...
The finicky cat.
But also a superstar, Dino. Yeah. I mean, this would be a brush with greatness if you ran into one of the 15 different Morris the Cats that were working at any one time. You know, like a Rin Tin Tin, right? You know, or... you know, who would be
Lassie?
Like, well, going where you're going, Lassie.
Benji, so, what are we?
So animals are stars as well. And we've also talked about names. What do they mean? You know, does your name automatically designate you as an intellectual success, as a sports hero, as an evil villain, right? And then I think
it goes,
if your name is Fluffy, just get ready, put a collar on. That's what you're going to do. So on the pet side, from the 815, I work at a vet clinic, and bless you for that. That's great stuff. There are some pretty wacky pet names. There is a dog named Lord Voldemort. And every time he comes in, I call him by thou who shall not be named. You got to know when to say
Lord,
the name.
Oh, okay.
And when not to.
I thought you said Lord, my Lord, but... That would have been an interesting name, calling your pet that.
Like Captain Morgan.
Right.
Right. Okay. So, Lord, so people are fun with their names and their pets, but also beloved. But sometimes these pets make the news, right, for other reasons.
Yeah, we got a story, Dane. A Siamese cat named Cupcake survived a 260-mile journey through the mail.
Is that some kind of record?
Yeah, I think so. Apparently the cat fell asleep inside of a shipping box that had DVDs in it. In England, as her owner was packing it. 8 days later, she arrived in West Sussex, dehydrated and nervous, but otherwise okay. Luckily, Cupcake had an identifying microchip, so they were able to find out where she was, and then it was the Cupcake was turned back over to their owner 260 miles later. So the moral of the story, don't let your cat fall asleep in a box and then ship him off to a undisclosed location.
Don't do it.
Yeah, you can't do that stuff.
Well, I think just the whole, like, one good chip deserves another. Because if I got called, it's 260 miles away. That's far. Like, Dino, name a place that is that far away. That's not close. That's,
yeah, that's probably...
That's an hour's
that's
driving.
That's Canada from here.
It's like probably Cincinnati or something from here. So at some point, you just say, like, put Cupcake back in a box.
Send it back. Give him some water. Make
a little
sure,
bit of water.
Right. Get a little food. You know, you get Morris in there, you know, the finicky cat.
Or at least a photograph of Morris. Kind of like the Betty Grable with the old troops, right? They would put a picture in there. You throw a Morris, you know, some kind of a can.
And that gets Cupcake right back. You know, that's an inspiration for the Cupcake to get back right to her owner. And that's the end of that story. But
Right. You're inspired to replicate the greatness of a Morris. And when it comes to greatness, and people are sharing names at 312-981-7200, of course, greatness. And we've got Catherine on the line. Catherine, welcome to WGN. What you got?
Good morning. My first one was when I was a little girl. I went with my friend's family. Sorry, I'm working at the same time here. And to their lake house up in Wisconsin. And her grandmother's friend was Agnes Moorhead.
Oh,
and
that
she was up there vacationing. And I'm sorry, the first thing I thought, I saw Endora.
That's it. That's her. That was her mother on the show.
Like, yeah, I mean, I totally freaked out. Endora, oh my God.
Think she should put a spell on her.
Friend. Yeah. I was scared for a while.
Now, did you get a chance to say Endora? And was she open to that? Because Punch, you know, of Punch and John fame, wasn't excited about it.
I didn't. I was too afraid. I just, for the first hour, I just sort of sat there. But then after a while, she was kind of just like another mother, grandmother, you know? You know, it was fun.
Except with the evil powers from the other side.
Every once in a while, you know, you kind of could see the look. And,
you're probably waiting for it to say Derwood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. I would have been old now and done, a lot of things would have came out.
Well, and then, like, Esmeralda. We got an Esmeralda, of course, she does a great job with it. But that's like wasn't that one of the names on that show?
Yep. It sure was.
That was like Endora's sister, I think.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right.
I know the show too well.
Well, thanks, Catherine. Thanks for sharing. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
All right. So there you go. You know, and Morris. Now, Morris also sounds like, it sounds like a cat because it was for so many years. But also it sounds like the kind of name, like Morris sounds like a smart guy. Like this, you know. Maybe not. I'm not sure, but for the 563. Speaking of Morris, when my wife was a young child, she was in a commercial with Morris. Period. Sadly, she doesn't receive any royalties. So apparently, that Morris meal ticket didn't pay off on that one. But that's still a great story. Those were great commercials. Remember, he was finicky.
Yeah, what was the name of the food that he?
Isn't that bad? So we remember Morris, but we don't remember that it was. What was it?
Was it Calcan? That's dog food.
Was it Vittles? Little Vittles? was it Nine Lives? I don't
Tender
remember.
Right? It might have been Nine Lives. It was Nine Lives.
312-981-7200.
Who knows the name of that?
What was more? I mean, he was so finicky. He could only be satisfied with one brand, one specific brand that happened to pay his Gibble bill. And so there you catnip. There you go. So Dino, what else is going on as far as in the world of animals? I know that they're out there being kidnapped, shipped.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff going on. There was a pig that was there was a pig that was on the side of a road that had to be lured out with the
lured out of where? Obviously the jaws of danger.
Well, it was in New Jersey, of course. You know, what else doesn't happen in New Jersey? But there was a trying to get the information up here. I just can't. A little slow on the draw here.
We'll continue to draw slowly and I'll kind of frame it up a little bit. I mean, it was recently where we talked about another animal that you would think would be in danger, but was protected. You know, where they made the prosthetic legs for. I can't remember what his name was, Fluffy, but he lived in a place called. I think this would be scary if he could read or comprehend words. Meat farm, right?
Oh, I know.
If I found myself on a meat farm, I would be a little bit worried.
Yeah, anytime you're going to find yourself on a meat farm, you got to worry about that. But so an abandoned piglet was. The story was in New Jersey. The director of a New Jersey animal shelter used a cherry Danish to lure an abandoned potbelly pig to safety after it was found near a truck stop. There was a photo shared on Instagram of the piglet and also how she lured. It was a cat container and a cherry Danish that got the piglet safely off the road.
You know, a truck stop is, as many people know, I mean, this could be, it was a brush with a brush, a potential impossible breakfast, right? Because, you know, the potbelly piglet, we know he's a pet. He probably knows he's a pet. But I think the cook back there could probably say that this could have been an entree, right?
Well, apparently several passersby stopped but could not catch the piglet.
Not an easy thing.
But, you know, you get. You just get a pastry out. Next thing you know, that's going to lure almost anybody off the road and into the safe protection of a cat carrier. So all's well that ends well as the pig they call Cherry now was rescued because of that cherry.
Well, the pastry may work
for a Potbelly Piglet, of course, now we know the secret to that. But it wouldn't work for Morris. Of course, it was Nine Lives, the 563. Let us know that that was the brand. And we do have Jay on the line from the 708. Jay, you got a Morris story?
Yeah, Morris was originally owned, was owned by Bob Markle. He had a kennel on Roosevelt Road in Lombard. And they used to take Morris everywhere in the world. And they did all kinds of commercials with Morris. But when you saw him really digging through the Nine Lives, like he's really chowing it down.
Don't say it. It wasn't like crack or something, was it? So it was something else, right?
It was stinky cat food that they just would pick up by the cans. And what you saw him chowing through, he was trying to get at the real cat food at the bottom. He didn't even like Nine Lives.
It's Nine Lives.
Ruined.
Oh, my gosh. Well, there you have it. You know, and I think but a large, you know, royalty check from the Nine Lives Corporation can make you at least tolerate Nine
Lives.
I think so.
Well,
now,
he got Morris from the Hinsdale Humane Society. And when he died, they got 20 more cats. And he had to weed through them all to get at least four or five more because they were never going to have no more Morris anymore.
Well, Jay, now there had to be something about it. Obviously, he had great writers, right? And so, but there had to be something special about this cat from the Humane Society. What was it about the original and real Morris that made him a star?
Bob did commercials for cats for years and years, and he walked in there, saw this cat. It had the attitude he wanted. And he would always do things with his hands to make sure the animal would follow him and stuff. And he just looked at him and goes, that's the one. And he contacted Nine Lives, and away they went.
Wow,
man.
Just like fate.
That's awesome. Well, here you got a brush with greatness, and it's with one of the greatest, you know, animal talents, pitchmen, storytellers, ambassadors of all time with Morris the Cat. And it's good to see some Illinois roots there, too. So, Jay, thanks so much for sharing.
No problem. Have a good morning.
Oh, wow, interesting awesome. Story there.
Lombard hometown of Morris the Cat. Not sure about the 20 followers, right? The other 20. They weeded through them, maybe found four or five that could, from different angles, kind of pass for Morris, but nothing like the original.
The actual Morris.
720 WGN, Dave Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio, high atop the sixth floor on the seventh floor exactly here at Tribune Tower. In for Nick DiGilio until 5 a.m., so a few minutes before Steve Grzanich and the opening bell. Dino Tiberi to my right, of course, the longtime, all-time nephew of Larry from Aurora. Right?
And proud of it.
So we talked a little animal story. We've done a bunch of different things, and people still can kind of contribute to the program, 312-981-7200. Because before the end of the program, we are going to announce the winner for the Lumel Nottie's pizza. And I think whether it's people love Lumel Nottie, I think animals would also love. You mentioned the cherry pastry for that Potbelly pig, but I think if you have a deep dish Lumel Nottie's with that butter crust,
you can't go wrong there. It's delicious, and it's all Chicago. And some lucky person is going to be a winner of a pie in just a few minutes.
And you can do whatever you want with it.
That's right.
If you want
put it up on a pedestal, eat it,
feed it,
give it away.
Feed it to your pet pit bull named Pink Floyd. 815 Verilyn, rescued pit bull named after the wall, Pink Floyd. She loves babies and kids. Not to eat, Dino. That was terrible the way that you looked at me like that. But she also probably loves. No, of course. That's wonderful. Lumel Nottie's pizza. But sometimes in the animal kingdom out there, you know, this great, you know, wider world that we live in is filled with, you know, some animals are awesome, like Pink Floyd, the pit bull.
Sure.
And then some are dangerous, right? Like bees, you know, especially if they've been, if they became killer bees.
Yeah. Well, during the Cubs game yesterday against Seattle, there was a big buzz around the ballpark because there were bees
nice.
All over the outfield. And Jason Hayward, the Cubs' new acquisition in the offseason, was stung more than 10 times in the head and neck area while he was trying to play right field. He kept moving around in the outfield. Where he
10
was,
times?
Well, actually, he was in center field, apparently. And he was swatting at the bees with his glove and hat, and even considered jumping over the center field wall at one point before encouraging umpires to go ahead and continue play and get the inning over with.
10 times?
Yeah, the game was delayed for 5 minutes, and some fans in the outfield shielded themselves from the bees by hiding under blankets. Well, your weapons are useless against them. Hayward remained in the ball game, and he came up at the bottom of the inning and hit a home run after getting stung 10 times.
That'll show. I have not been stung 10 times in my whole life.
Well, I tell you what, it's not something to be fooling around with. I know that. When you get stung by a bee, it's no laughing matter. But
when you have the center field constitution of a Derek Fowler, you know that you can take it.
Hayward. He was a trooper, and again, coming up in the bottom of the inning and knocking out a home run.
It was Derek Fowler that said that it was his cologne that did it, and something was attracting him. I think
that high karate, you shouldn't be wearing that out in the outfield. That's a problem.
It wasn't like I was going to say Sex Panther, but I know that probably wasn't it. But don't they say, like, with bees, that sort of that whole, you know, you don't hurt them, they don't hurt you thing? But I saw the video. There were so many of them.
Oh, they were all over the place. It was crazy. And you know, you got to watch out for that stuff. Close to home, my girlfriend allergic to bees, and she's got the whole kit and everything. It's you really got to watch out for that stuff. So I have to be on high alert if there's bees. We need to know where they're at.
We know that the Cardinal fans may be powerless. Their weapons when it comes to pitching and batting are powerless against the mighty Cubs, at least at these days. And so they may have resorted to other means, like, you know, commandeering, you know, members of the bee community to attack Jason Hayward in retaliation. Now, also, too, is you've got a story where actually some of these birds that have some red bits on them are also they've become killer birds.
Well, I tell you what, these red-winged blackbirds are a problem, apparently. And, you know, there's a Beth Cawson who says, you know, they remind her of old hard, old-timey Jersey couples, she said. as the female sits on the nest and the male tries to muscle out the humans. So if you're walking, jogging, or riding a bike anywhere in Chicago, be careful, because the blackbird with the red and yellow wings may attack you. They've protected their nests. They're commonly known to swoop down on humans and even try to grab their hair.
Oh, no.
Well, I don't have that problem, so there's not much left here to grab. So, you know, I'll be safe, I think. But the red-winged blackbirds are among the most abundant birds in North America. They're routinely found near waterways and marshes and on telephone wires. Males have the red and yellow shoulders, which they puff out when they feel particularly boastful.
So watch out when the puffing happens. Watch out when they puff out.
Yeah, you know what? Cost, an environmental science consultant at DePaul graduate, said the females will sit in the nest, and the whole time the female's egging on her man. So it's a tag team. Like,
are you going to take that? That's what she said. But in bird speak, so it's probably a lot of squawking and tweeting. So watch out for that.
Wow, that's, be careful. You never know when they're going to get you.
You know, Steve Grzanik he's got the opening bell. And I think based on what we've said, is that any company out there that has products that either protect you from bees or angry birds, I think could be a big success in the business world. Steve, what's coming up today?
Well, you know, there are a couple of stories. First, I have to tell you a story about birds. First of all, if the feathers are a puff and don't come a knocking. That's number one in the bird world. And then I live in Uptown, where we have peregrine falcons at the Uptown Theater.
Whoa, that sounds dangerous.
Boy. It is. If you are a small animal or predator, one of those, like a bird or a pigeon or a squirrel, you watch out, because every once in a while I'll just see like a skeleton picked clean on my sidewalk.
Wow.
And it's you look up in the tree and there's like a falcon there. So that's very cool.
Well, the WGN listening audience is vast, right? And includes, I'm sure, a lot of squirrels and pigeons. And so hopefully they've been forewarned.
Yeah, so watch out. Watch out, pigeons. Yeah.
So what's coming up on opening bell today?
Actually, it's all coming up on the opening bell.
That sounds good. All right, thanks, Steve. Look forward to that. We are going to take a quick break, and then we're going to wrap it all up. It's Dane in for Nick for just a couple more minutes. And stay tuned. Of course, we're going to give away that Luminized Pizza. It's Dane on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Dane Neal in for Nick for another minute or so. And so here's how all the people that called in, want to thank everybody that called in, texted in, contributed to the program. Dino, of course, Dan, awesome. So, Dino, how did we arrive at our winner?
All right, here's what I did. I took we had the story about the kid who was picked up off the street by the three Giants, Willie Mays, Willie McCovey, and Bobby Bonds. I took their numbers, divided them by three, and which comes out to 31, and then I just reversed the numbers and made it 13.
So our 13th contributor is the one that wins the Lou Malnati's pizza. I'm not sure exactly.
His dream act was Zamfir playing Led Zeppelin on the pan flute.
Zamfir on the pan flute. Nice to get a little PR and respect for that.
And pizza, pan flute.
WGN Plus, the Dane Neal Show, and of course, follow everything that we're doing here at WGN Radio. Thanks so much.